ChipChat is moving iTunes channels. Visit our website at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm and click on the link for iTunes to subscribe to the new feed. Welcome to ChipChat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues the industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
And we're back live from the Intel Developer Forum. My name is Allison Klein, and we're on ChipChat Live. It's the first day of IDF, and as I mentioned before the break, we're back with a good friend of mine, Billy Cox, Director of Cloud Strategy for Intel. And I think before we even get started, Billy, I think you've got a new title or a new position at Intel, so why don't we start there?
So I do. Allison, it's great to be here. Good to see you again. And here we are in sunny San Francisco, I think again, as a matter of fact. And I've taken a new position within the company, although most of my previous role carries over with me. The cloud software strategy continues to carry over. But what we find is that Intel has created a group called the Data Center Software Division to really focus on the software for the data center. I know that sounds like you mean they're just now forming a group to do that. That seems kind of obvious, but actually this is a new group. And Boyd Davis is the general manager and vice president of the group. Thrilled to have him in the leadership role here as we pioneer new paths. Intel's been an amazing catalyst in the data center business for years, but we've never actually pulled into one place all of the strategies for the groups to go drive to. So our ISV alliances, our fundamental work that we do in enabling the technology in the industry for the software in the data center, as well as products in the data center. We bought Wham Cloud, the Lustre products, which are in Boyd's teams as well. So I think you'll see more products come out of the group, but also the create the framework. One of the key things that Boyd really makes makes a lot of noise on is we will create products, but more importantly, we're an ingredient. So if our customers want to use our stuff, that's great. If they want to make their own or use a different person, that's great too, as long as it runs on Xeon.
Well, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions about that, but I wanted to get to the cloud software strategy first. Mm-hmm. The topic that we've talked about, it seems like decades now, but it's just been a couple of years, right, is the Intel Cloud Builders program. And I know that's near and dear to your heart. That was launched in mid-2010, and with a vision of creating reference architectures or recipes so that people could stand up clouds and accelerate their adoption of cloud around particular usage models. Why don't you tell us where we are today? And it's pretty phenomenal how that program's come along.
Oh, man, it's hard to recognize where we are today, given where we started. We're over 100 reference documents, I'll call them today, around 100 reference architectures, and a number of reference implementations, which is a new category we've added. When we started this, Allison, we were trying to help people understand why they should build a cloud, and starting with not how you set it up, but how you use it. And they were the most basic things of how you just simply set up an infrastructure as a service. And we would pull people into a lab and run their software, and nothing would work. And it's like, oh my gosh, how much further from usability can you be? And here we are now, 2+ years later, and the basic part of how you set up a cloud is now almost a given. People assume, I know how to set up a cloud. That's no longer the question. It's how do I do these things around security or efficiency, or how do I use 10 gigabit effectively? These now become the hot topics, and even those to some degree are becoming more almost the norm, shall we say. Not that people have implemented them, but they begin to understand them. And so we've really extended now into a couple of areas. One is we've realized we need to not just say, here's an architecture, but if you wanted to do it, let me give you an example of somebody who actually did it. And what we thought that was a subtlety, but what we're finding is it's a really, really important distinction between here's a conceptually how you could do it and how you might choose to do trusted pools, but if you actually want to go do the integration in your data center with your IP addresses and your partners, here's some examples of how to do it. That turned out to be a very powerful transition. And the second part is we added work around big data. And again, big data is now kind of where we were 2+ years ago on basic cloud. It's mm-hmm. how do you set it up, how do you use it, how do you do the basic kinds of things in those environments. And we're kind of at that stage, so I think we can predict how this one evolves over the next couple of years. But we've added those two areas. It's also become a global program. We were pretty global when we started, but it is, boy, very definitely global now. Partners from all over the U.S., all over Europe, Eastern, Western Europe, and China, and Asia. Lots of different partners contributing and showing some rather interesting and innovative solutions. So we launched with 20 reference architectures here in San Francisco a few years back, and now we have well over 100 covering a much broader range of topics.
You have 50 partners today.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands and thousands of downloads of those reference architectures. You've gone all over the world to train people. I think you've gone to at least 3 different continents, if not more. And hundreds of thousands of folks have contacted different Intel websites to watch videos, engage in podcasts about the program. Really incredible reach. One question that I have for you, in all of your travels, have you heard about folks actually using these things and actually standing up clouds?
Oh, yeah. Boy, have we. And we've heard lots of feedback. So we know of a bank in outside North America that used these as a starting point for their secure cloud. And we know of financial institutions that have started with our reference architectures. Almost always the feedback is, it got me started. It gave me a solid ground to stand on, a place to build from. But you didn't answer, and then they ask us the next 10 questions. That's kind of the norm. But what we hear continually is it got me through the starting blocks. And our work with Intel IT, for example, we have a reference architecture with them where we can publish. We can talk about how they actually made some of their choices in their open source cloud. What happens now is we create that starting point. We then let people then move to the next step. It also formulates the dialogue with them and their partners too. It says, I know these things are important. It gives them a framework to then go ask those questions.
You know, one of the impressive things that I've seen about the program is the partners themselves saying, we learned a lot about our products through the delivery of that reference architecture and using it with customers. And, you know, that's also a way of really changing the speed of innovation around cloud adoption.
You know, you mentioned our Day in the Cloud events and bringing partners together. We certainly found that when we bring our partners and we have to go into lab and we make it work, they suddenly find out, you know, they thought they had a value proposition of X, and it turned out it's actually much bigger than that or maybe slightly different. And then when we bring them together in a Day on the Cloud event and they interact with customers, most of them walk away thinking, I thought I had a value prop. I actually have a huge value prop. I didn't realize how much customer demand there was for it. And by integrating with other industry partners, I actually can I actually can bring even more value to the solution. One of the challenges we had as cloud builders was most of these reference architectures are not just hardware and one software. They tend to be more than one hardware and more than one software, and more than one ISV. And so you end up bringing multiple parties together, and that alone creates a fair amount of industry collaboration. You know, I saw Hema from HITRUST downstairs, and I know she's extended well beyond the core product that we initially tested with them on trusted compute pools into a lot of relationships that they've established. Through cloud builders, we've interacted with her, with those partners. It's great to see that we've actually helped create even more innovation, more partnerships through others.
And now you're not done.
Nope.
Today, Intel's announcing the Cloud Finders program. Or Cloud Finder program, I should say. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, Cloud Finder is really interesting. We had a lot of end customers come to us and say, "Boy, you know, I think I now get how I should look at cloud as a service delivery mechanism, but I don't know how to pick the service provider. I don't even know what attributes to look for." And so we, initially stepped back and said, "Well, that's really not our role to help you pick a service provider," but we actually do know the questions to ask, both from our work in cloud builders as well as the work we do more broadly with the service providers, and certainly our own Intel IT organization. And so, you know, it seemed like a logical fit for us to postulate, here are the questions you should ask, here are the topics, and go into some level of detail. Think it through. What do you really have to have in order to be, if you're an IT consumer consuming a cloud, what do you actually have to have? And so we documented this in a set of questions or attributes, and then we worked with a good number of service providers to actually populate it, fill it in, you know, give us some answers. And then we created the web tools that as an end user, you can come in and say, these things are important to me, and then we can show you providers that have those. We're not judging. We're not going out and measuring. We're not creating technical specifications on exactly what, did they actually conform or not. We are working with them to make sure they understand what the phraseology means and what we need it to mean. What we're doing is we're now creating a very simple communication method between service providers who have some very interesting capabilities and service consumers who are trying to find those and really didn't know where to go. So Cloud Finders creates that bridge between, I think I know what I want, but I'm not sure how to ask the question, to, I've got all these capabilities, let me help you find those and match them up.
Seems like a really well-architected decision tree tool.
It's well architected. I think we need to view it as a starting point of dialogue in the industry. I'm fairly convinced, and I spent a lot of time with the team working up the questions, that we've probably only scratched the surface. Mm-hmm. That as service providers get a lot more sophisticated in their offerings, especially around security and availability and geo management, we're going to find we need to have additional capabilities there. But the reception so far has been, wow, I could have asked two or three of these questions, but the other, however many are, there's quite a few questions I would never have come up with on my own. So I'm actually incredibly excited, and I was one of the bigger skeptics when we first started it. But I think we've seen we can, in fact, find the differentiating elements for the service providers and let them show their differentiation and then find customers to consume them.
And this is available at intelcloudfinder.com. What has the service provider response been?
As I mentioned, I was a skeptic early on because I thought the service providers would look at this and go, why would I want to, look just like everybody else? The service providers have actually said, I'm having a hard time explaining what I do to cloud consumers. They don't understand all these terms and nuances. So Intel stepping in as a neutral party, because we don't really have a vote. We're not making any money off of this in that form. We can then come in and say, here are the relevant things, and the cloud providers can say, thank you. Yes, those are the things I've been trying to express. Customers didn't know how to ask the question, or we didn't know how to respond. So we really come in then as a, if you will, as a third party and said, we think these are the ones, and they love that, actually.
And now that goes to the million-dollar question, which is, what's in this for Intel to put out this tool other than just accelerating market adoption?
Yeah, so we want this because we know there are customer problems that need to be addressed. We've seen the Open Data Center Alliance come out and talk about security monitoring and secure compliance. We've looked at what that means in terms of what attributes would a service provider expose to solve that problem, and therefore we can use Cloud Finders as a way for those service providers who choose to go implement those capabilities. Now we have a way for them to be visible and for customers to find them and value them. So for us, it's about taking our technology to solve those end-user problems, often delivered through service providers, and then we can then match those up to customers. This is we look at cloud, at the various providers and say, it's pretty stable. Actually, we're at the beginning. We're at week one of a 10-year race. We don't even know what the next set of capabilities are. And the Open Data Center Alliance is being clear thought leaders here and saying, here are some things that are important. And this Cloud Finder will give us a way then to say, okay, here's what they look like at the end customer consumption level and how to go grab them. That's a pretty revolutionary idea.
Mm-hmm. We talked a lot about the Open Data Center Alliance yesterday. They said that the rapid rate of adoption on cloud is growing even faster than expected, 15% faster than they had forecast last year. So good thing that we're doing all these programs. So my next question for you, Billy, is going back to the job change. What is the scope of focus that you've got now? I mean, it sounds like it's pretty much anything under the sun for data center software.
Yeah, boy, and you asked me on different days of the week, and I might give you a slightly different answer. But fundamentally, we want to make sure that as Intel, we have the right products, hardware and software, firmware, the right partnerships and ecosystem to go deliver the value that we know our customers are asking for. So now, if we tease that apart and say, what are we actually going to go do? Well, part of it's hardware, and we have a fantastic data center organization doing not just servers, but network and storage. But what are the various pieces? So we work with our key partners like VMware and Microsoft. to make sure that they know how to use our capabilities. We also do a significant investment in open source. We've been doing this one for quite a long time, so Linux is a classic example there, but we've been a key enabler behind Xen and KVM for many years as well. We are now a gold member of the OpenStack Foundation, and that means that we now have we participate at the board level to be able to influence the adoption and the driving of OpenStack, but also we have engineers participating as contributors in OpenStack. We choose OpenStack because it has an incredibly vibrant community, but we also recognize customers may choose other options, such as the Citrix Cloud Stack or Eucalyptus, and those are fantastic solutions as well. They have clear value that they bring. And so we use OpenStack as a way to show, here's how you might address some of these problems, but we look forward to our ISV partners adopting those. So the job scope really says, start with those end user pain points and drive the ecosystem. In some cases, drive our own Intel-based software products, perhaps, such as Lustre and maybe many other things, and then make sure that we actually address those user pain points. So the scope, I haven't found the edges, Allison. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are edges out there, but Boyd, our VM, doesn't seem to have any edges, and I think he's got the right answers.
So when you look at that scope, and I guess the question that I have for you is, over the next 12-month time horizon, what is the area of innovation when it comes to data center software that you're the most excited about?
I think there's two. One has to do with making the ability to operate a cloud efficient. And most IT shops today are more worried about making their IT work. But as they get their private clouds built, as the service providers get on board with their capability, what's going to happen next is they're going to have to get efficient. They're going to find that they have low utilization and that they need to do better in using the infrastructure. But they're going to find the constraints make this really hard. Things around trust, things around efficiency, things around service level management. And part of we have some history here as Intel. We have an engineering compute farm where we have 73,000 servers in our compute farm, and we have achieved over 80% average utilization in that farm by focusing on how those workloads work. So we have a lot of experience here in optimizing. And so I think one of the big areas we're going to see, and it's exciting, is to bring in these constraints but also be very efficient in the data center. The other one, and we haven't touched a lot on it here, is big data. The economic contribution of IT today to society is significant, but we think the economic contribution of big data may well be multiples of that when you start looking at genome research or smart cities or lots of different concepts. The economic contribution there may well be even greater. And the current tools today are what they are. They're probably not good enough to get us to where we need to be. So we're going to see evolution over the next 12 months in big data that's way beyond anything we can even imagine today.
Well, I'm going to have you back on the show to talk about those things as the story starts to come together and we start deciding where we're headed with both product innovation and enabling. But for this week, you've got a class later today at IDF. For those of you who are listening online that are going to the Intel Developer Forum today, please check out Billy's class at 4:45, Architectural Foundation for the Cloud. Billy is an awesome speaker. I've heard him speak many times, and I'm sure that it would be a treat to sit in on that one. And then, what else have you got going on at IDF?
Meeting with a number of customers listening, had breakfast with a group of systems integrators this morning who are having to deal with the business transformation that they're facing, not shipping boxes, but shipping value to the customers. And it was pretty exciting listening to the ideas they had for how they were making new opportunities and inroads, and talked to a number of ISVs, a number in the OpenStack space, and how they're finding new ways to sell open source software, but not actually sell the software. Very exciting.
Well, Billy, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much for spending time with us today. I know you've got a busy schedule. One final question for you. If folks want to get in contact with you and continue the conversation, how would they do that?
Well, obviously, contact me on my email address is by far the easiest way to do that, and billy.cox@intel.com.
Fantastic. Well, with that, I'm going to wrap up our day one of IDF Livecast, our second day of Livecast here in the Intel Developer Forum. And tomorrow we'll be back on the show, so check us out. And with that, thank you very much for being on the program, Billy.
Thanks for having me, Allison.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/design/chipchat.htm.